Hey, I'm Tracy Burns. Welcome to Wine on the Street. All right, so we're officially on the street today. I actually got in the car and drove out of Jersey to Zaki's in Scarsdale, New York, here with Andrew McMurray, Vice President of Zaki's. I mean, I think at this point, Zaki's, you're very well known around the country.
We are one of the most iconic premium wine brands in the U.S.
And why is that?
My father-in-law was one of the very first in the wine industry, going back to the early 70s, late 70s, where he would take out full-page ads in the New York Times. And that's back when people used to read the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he built something that's kind of almost larger than life. So you come here to the store, and it's a very impressive shop.
Yeah.
But people come in, and they're expecting to see, like, a 40,000-square-foot, like, superstore.
Right.
You know, my father-in-law is the king of marketing, and he's always really pushed our brand out and, you know, gotten the message out that, like, we're premium, you want the best of the best, this is the place to be, and, you know, and people have eaten it up. So we're very big, obviously, in the tri-state area because this is where we are, but our national footprint is very, very large.
I think the auctions, the auction arm has done wonders for you guys as well, because now you talk Sotheby's, I mean, Morel's had auction for a while, not so much anymore, and then there's basically you guys.
Yep. You know, when you take, say, the London market out, because Christie's and Sotheby's are very different beasts because they have, obviously, art and jewelry and furniture, and wine can just be pulled in from an estate. You know, we are one of the largest auction houses in the world, you know, taking that part out. So, yeah, I mean, talk about expanding your footprint and bringing in a whole new set of collectors. So it brings in people that maybe never even knew the retail part existed, and vice versa. People have been longtime retail customers have the opportunity to buy these, like, cool, fine and rare collectibles, wines that have age on them that they can drink now and not have to, like, stick in their cellar forever.
Which is amazing and part of the reason why we're here, right? So you guys are doing this event. I'm a Sicilian. Everyone knows this. So I'm more than happy to talk Italian wines. Great Wines of Italy with James Suckling.
Yep.
JamesSuckling.com, of course, as all you wine lovers know already. So you put this event together, Italian wines. I mean, first, before we even get to the event, let's talk about Italy in general. Italy in general, I think, is getting its day again. I mean, it was all about Bordeaux for a while, and the Chinese went and screwed that up. So no, right? You can't touch a Bordeaux unless you have like $1,000 these days, which is crazy. You certainly can't drink the good ones every day.
Yep. No, the median and for Bordeaux versus Italy, I mean, there's no comparison in terms of price point.
Right.
And our running joke here for a long time is I would much rather sell you a case of great Brunello for the price of a pretty good bottle of Bordeaux.
Really?
I mean, you know, that kind of says it all. The Italians have always had this love affair with the U.S., and I think it works both ways. I mean, how many people do you know that love to tell the story about their trip to Sicily or the time they spent in Tuscany in the summertime, or in November I went to Piedmont and, you know, went truffle hunting and drank great Barolo.
Well, my theory is everyone wants to be Italian.
Right.
I mean, I just think
fair enough. A last name like McMurray, I'll even agree with that.
And Burns is a marital mistake, so I am a Sicilian, and everyone wants to be Italian. That's what I think.
Yep. So they're plugged into this market, and you know, this is their number one market in the world in terms of export, and so this market is important, and you know, they know the importance of producing super high quality wine, and then obviously having it at the right price point.
And that's the beauty of it. Even their higher end has stayed. It hasn't. You haven't seen the $1,000 numbers coming out of Italy, which is amazing. Which is why this event is so great.
Yeah.
So this Great Wines of Italy event you're putting on with Suckling. How many different producers do you have coming?
We have, ready for this, 103 different producers coming.
Wow.
So you know, the standard tasting you might go to, you know, that's considered a big tasting, might have, you know, 20 people. To have 103. James is like, he kind of, in Italy these days, he walks on water because, like you said, he's always believed in Italy. He reviews wines from all around the world, but back from his early days as the Wine Spectator, he moved to Italy, bought a house there, and he believes in what they're doing. And back in 1997 was really when everything turned around, and the quality and the technology and the winemaking went through the roof. And he believed in them, and they believed in him. And
it's been awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have all these producers, and big producers. I mean, I saw the list. It's Frescobaldi. It's Banfi, of course, will be there. Who else? Luce, right? Luce del Vite, I saw on the list.
Yeah, you know, you get great Barolo producers, you know, from Aldo Quinterno. You have, like you said, you've got the Frescobaldi family there from Ornellaia. You have producers We have a series of producers from Sicily. We have Friuli covered. We've got Alto Adige.
And that's the most amazing part to me is that you get amazing wines from places that most people don't think of. Because, right, it's typically Barolo country. It's Tuscany, of course.
Right.
But to go south, the wines are stellar.
Yeah. I mean, Sicily's is absolutely going through the roof right now qualitatively, mm-hmm. and the prices are very reasonable. Or if you're talking about going over to Sardinia, how many people know the island off of the coast?
But right.
There's cool wines being made there. Or the Veneto, which is, you know, northern Italy, and most people think of the Veneto for Amarone, or historically Suave's been this like cheap, inexpensive,
right.
you know, wine that
Box
people don't think
wine.
About. I mean, the quality of what's being made there is like you get cool producers that are up on the hillside making, you know, small batch, you know, Suave, this stuff
really
that like
cool.
competes with any whites in the world for very reasonable
and
prices.
And the whites are fabulous from up there, I think.
Yep.
Really fabulous.
And we're going to have some great sparkling wines there too.
Which is also really yep. hot and fabulous. And of course, Prosecco is booming
yep.
these days. Can't get enough of that these
yep.
days. All right, so you have some wines here that you want us to taste while we're talking about the event.
Sure.
So, and just so people should know, if they are in the neighborhood and they can come, they go to the website and they can find tickets.
For sure. Go to Zachy's.com. It's right on our homepage. And this is always the big deal tasting in New York every year. So we are already about 80% sold through the event. So, like, if you love wine, even if you just like Italian wine, this is, like, a super
and
cool way to spend
a
Tuesday
night. Yeah, it's a great night out in this awful, slushy, dirty
Don't
Manhattan.
Say that. Don't say that. Last year it snowed at the event.
Of course it did.
It was, you know.
And I'm sure the wine lovers still came because we
did.
Are ever devoted. Ever
For
devoted.
Sure.
So while you're pouring, I'm going to keep talking to you. So, you know, when people come in here these days, what are they looking for as far as Italian wines go? Do they ask you, say, do they get price point? Are they looking for the high end?
You know, it's... you know, food and wine and purity is kind of the word I like to use these days. You know, everyone wants with food, you know, we want balance now, right?
Yeah.
People are looking for organic, you know, food. They want wines that aren't, or food that isn't pushed too much, isn't too salty, too heavy. You know, it's all about balance, and same thing with the wine. People are coming in and saying, you know, I don't want this, you know, something that's big and over-extracted. What's going to be cool? What's going to, you know, we're even talking about, you know, the Super Bowl, and people are looking for wines that are going to go well with, like,
that.
You know, with chicken wings, or if I'm having nachos and there's a lot of salt, what sort of wines are going to, you know, tone that down and balance? So our clients, when they come in, are usually looking for some sort
so
of
they're
experiential.
On a mission. You're
yeah.
lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, what'd you pour us?
Okay, so we're tasting right now 2014 Suave Classico from Pierrepont.
So just like what we were talking about.
Exactly. So this is a producer that is making wines all up on the hillside in the Veneto, small, you know, small batch, not what you think of when you think of Suave.
Oh, it smells fabulous.
Mm. And the best way I like to describe that is it's like, it's kind of like sunshine in a glass, right?
It really is.
I mean, it's like
it really
it's got like that yellow, kind of bright, golden, raisiny sort of fruit to it, and but doesn't finish heavy.
No, you wouldn't expect that.
My wife loves this wine because it's elegant, and same thing. If you're putting a few nachos in your mouth and you've got some salt, and then you take this, the way it's going to just wash it out.
That's like a great everyday, though.
Yep, and it's $18 a bottle.
And it's a screw top. I don't know if you heard him screw the top off. I love that sound.
Mm-hmm.
As a single mother with three kids, everything should be screw top. Because there's not enough time sometimes to take the cork out when the day is that bad.
Right. So this is a perfect example of great wines Italy is all about. Very few people know this producer. You walk up to the table, the actual winemaker himself is flying from Italy, so you meet, you know, get the cool guy with a nice accent.
Right.
And then you taste a wine like this, and you're like, wow.
Now, a wine like this, to your point, is hard to come by, but you have it here.
Yep.
These guys, though, clearly are distributed in the United States.
Yes.
They wouldn't be coming otherwise, right?
Yeah. Okay. Every wine that's being showed is going to be available in the U.S.
Okay. So Andrew's spitting. I'm not. Let's just... and by the way, we're doing this at 10:30 in the morning, so we'll just keep going here.
Okay.
Okay.
So we are going to... We're actually going to jump...
And I love that you're pulling out the Coravin, too. That is my favorite apparatus on the planet.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that in a minute. So we are jumping into Tuscany now. All three of these next wines we're going to taste are from Tuscany. The first one is a Brunello, and it's from the producer is Caparzo, and it's their single vineyard, La Casa. Reason you and I are tasting this together is 2010 Brunello, in my 20-something years here at Zachy's, is the best vintage I've ever tasted.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Everybody's saying this. Why? And that's the beauty of actually showing up at this event, because to taste these 2010 Brunellos just for like your ticket price is crazy.
Yeah.
But why, what was so great? I mean,
so, you know, the growing season worked out well, but what we got, and I've, you know, you see varieties over different vintages. The wines have, the best way to describe them is they have a salty savoriness to them.
Ah.
So when you taste it, they've got richness of fruit and balance, but it has that, you know, that palate cleansing savoriness to the finish that.
Oh, I get that. I get what you're saying.
See how it doesn't,
yeah.
You know, if you have a big California Cabernet, it's going to kind of have a little bit more of that chocolate cake sort of feel to it.
Yeah.
This fills your mouth with really fine kind of sweet fruit. But then in the end, it's just like you feel a little bit of that savoriness.
But it doesn't, like my friend always says, it doesn't rip the enamel off your teeth.
Right.
Like those big California
right.
cabs do.
And think, now you just took a sip. See how long that like stays in your mouth? And like, the, you know, they talk about, you know,
it's the
balance of the length and the elegance of this wine. I mean, like, how like delicious is this now?
That's kicking.
And this wine's gonna age for 20, 25 years. But 2010 out of the bottle is like, awesome. And so every tasting we've done, people have been like, wow.
That is, now, so basically back up the truck on the 2010s, if you can.
Mm-hmm.
What does a bottle like that retail for?
Okay, so this comes from what the, you know, one of the most elite parts of Montalcino, comes from the Montosoli Vineyard, which is this, you know, northern Montalcino, this high elevation vineyard. And the, well, let me ask you. Well, no, I'll tell you. So this is a single vineyard crew, kind of the best of the best.
And so it's got to be up there.
It sells for $85
okay.
a bottle.
But
take it to a point of reference, and whether you're talking about someone buying Camus Napa Cab or if you're buying, you know, Bordeaux that's over, you know,
right.
around $200 a bottle, this is like at $85
Killer.
A bottle. Yeah.
Right, because your special select is $150.
Correct. You can get two bottles of this for that same price. And this is like...
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Not to mention it'll age beautifully.
For sure. But it's really hard when you go to a big tasting and you have to say to someone, hey, you know, get in your time machine and figure out what, you know, envision
it's
what this
so
wine's
going
to taste like 10 years from now. You don't, for 2010 Brunello, you don't have to do that. I mean, you got an impression right away. It's like, bam, that's
it's
like...
It's amazing. And I've tasted a bunch of them now and they're all amazing. And all price ranges.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
That's the beauty of it. I mean,
yes.
Caparzo makes an entry-level, Brunello that's around $35 a bottle. So if you don't want to spend $85 for their, like, best of the best, at $35, it's like a vintage
run.
You can invest in.
That's a home run.
Diamond.
Again, another reason, not because I'm biased, but everybody should be drinking Italy. I'm all about that.
I'm for it. That's where I Andrew cut his teeth at Zachy's when I first started here. There's the first apartment I was given. My father-in-law said, no one buys Italian wines. What do you think you can do with it?
And really?
Like, yep. And I said, I bet I can do something pretty special with it.
Well, I think, again, not that I'm biased, but everyone wants to be Italian. And so, but then you're transported. And it's... There's something about being transported back to Italy or even pretending you're being transported back to Italy because you just imagine the whole scene and the really big plate of pasta and I don't know, maybe it's because of Lady and the Tramp when we were kids, but...
Okay.
But as far as holding wines, you know, it's rare that people have the space to do it, first of all. Our area excluded. But it's... And if you're like me, you don't have the patience to do it. I have the patience of a flash cube. A bottle comes in my house, it makes it through the end of the day, which of course is not a good thing when you're handed something that's supposed to age.
Right. I think that's and you're no different than anyone else. It's a, you know, people want immediate gratification. I'm gonna do my corvin again to make sure I got the...
That's all right, pull from the top, yeah. So he's corving a bottle. Okay, so tell us what you're... Now, tell us about this wine, because this is named after somebody. How do you say it? Siffredi.
So this is from one of my favorite producers in the Maremma. Most people make the mistake of assuming that it's from Bulgari, where Sassicaia and Ornellaia are from. Maremma is kind of like the overall area that Bulgari is a subset on. So it's very near the town of Grosseto. And Elisabetta Gepetti she's like kind of the pioneer there. She's like a tough woman where, you know, in a man's world. And of course
And this tough wine doesn't want to come out for us.
It doesn't.
That's all right.
I wonder if our cartridge is...
Oh, empty maybe.
That could be
so
possible.
But this wine, because it's... Siffredi is not the grape.
No, it's a
blend,
Bordeaux
right?
blend, and she's always tried to fashion it after
Her dad.
And she loves the concept of Chateau Latour.
Oh, interesting.
It's like one of her favorite wines.
So she was ripping off the French Bordeaux style. I get that. I appreciate that.
Guys, I need a corkscrew because we got a dead canister.
Lift your this up.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of Corvin, though. You have to keep, you get a couple pumps and they're done. God bless.
The new one's there.
Do you have one down here?
Greg and his Corvin people, they got
it. No, they've done an awesome job. And like even for tasting ourselves, like I can power through a tasting when you have this because you can just go in, boom.
Yeah.
And then.
It's a single mother's dream come true because I pour a glass in a second without having to ask questions. As a matter of fact, I've trained my children. Is that bad? Should I not say that? They all know how to use it though now.
That's okay.
And
that's
God
great.
God bless Greg. Greg's story is amazing, right? His wife was pregnant. He's like, I need to figure out how to drink this wine without opening the bottle. I told him he should keep having babies. He'll come up with more good ideas.
And the best thing is for people to see it in action, like we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, they can't see it because they are.
No, but I've talked about it enough. Everyone knows save quarters and pennies and nickels to buy this thing, even though, because it is a little pricey.
Yeah.
All right, so this wine, Bordeaux blend.
So it's Cab Merlot and Petit Verdot. 2012 vintage
I can smell that already.
This is, James went kind of bananas over this wine, gave it a 100-point review.
Did he
so
really?
So in his mind, he says this is perfection.
Holy heck.
And, you know, when you smell it, it's about 2012 vintage.
So now this whole area, first of all, has been kind of blessed by God.
Yeah.
Right? This whole anything near Bulgari has been amazing.
Yeah. Because what you get there is, you know, you're so close to the ocean there that you get, it's sandy soil. So Cabernet and Cab Franc and Merlot kind of flourish in that sort of soil. It gets very warm during the day. But, you know, because you're so close to the ocean, the cooling influence that comes in at night, all the vineyards, all the grapes, they kind of cool down at night.
So perfect.
The fruit gets cool, then it warms up during the day, and it creates this like perfect ripening environment where you can't really get Cabernet ripe like this in most other places of Italy.
This is fabulous.
What are you pouring? I'm just curious.
It's fabulous. You should go grab a bottle, and it will be at the event. So because we're live in the store, we have guests talking with us right now. So this is a Bordeaux blend from Italy.
Tim, you want to pour a glass?
And it'll be at the Great Wines of Italy event that they're having.
Here?
In Manhattan?
No, it's going to be in New York City.
Oh.
On February 23rd. That's that one right there.
Oh, it's so, really great. Okay, so.
See what I'm saying? So the when you have this, blind in the glass, it's hard to peg the varietal. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, blended really well, and it's
But
like
it's
super,
so much darker.
Yeah.
So instantly you know that there's something going on here because mm-hmm. it's so much darker than that Brunello. And it's the Petit Verdot you could taste.
Yep, and like super elegant. I mean, I love the balance of this wine. Remember that's what we said before? We were talking about balance.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a big wine, and people think super Tuscan, they're like, oh gosh, you know, it must be like really big and heavy, and,
right.
and you're like, no, this no. is like, this is what you want. This is the definition of purity, cleanliness,
Let me ask you, are they making wines like this for us? This whole like notion that I could open it and drink it today, I don't have to age it, a little bit more fruit forward. I mean, doesn't that all kind of work to the American palate?
Yes, I don't know if they're making it towards the American palate, I think, because you're seeing the same thing throughout all of Europe
Agreed.
Too, because
Agreed.
Food is like becoming such a big part and everyone wants like balance. So yes, for sure, that's absolutely where the trend is going. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. You know, certain regions, if you're down in Sicily, you know, and you're handed a deck of cards that where you're in a hot, really hot environment,
right.
it's balance is a little bit more challenging, but it doesn't mean you can't make wines that have softer tannins and, you know, not, like you said, rip the enamel off your teeth sort
is
of
that,
wines.
But that, this, and it, this is a crying shame to dump the swine out, but, but is that an, I mean, so is that a trend in the wine industry then that you're seeing in general, like this notion that let's make them to drink? Are we still making them to hold for a lifetime?
Mm. Some, you know, some regions are, but for the most part, you're seeing this trend. So I was in Napa 2 weeks ago, tasting the 2013 vintage, great, great vintage from Napa. And like, I really like the vintage and I'm not a big California wine lover because I like wines that have more restraint to them personally. And the 13 vintage, like all of a sudden was like one of these vintages
really?
Where like, I think they, you know, it was what they got, from, you know, from the growing season, but you see as a whole, like, everyone's, like, they're taking it back a notch or two. And, like,
that's a good thing.
And they're getting, like, amazing response from the consumers and from the critics. And yeah, it's a less is more is definitely.
And people should know. And maybe we could even do something one of these days on Napa. But 2012, 2013, 2014, tunnel grapes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's opportunity out there for the entrepreneurs of the world to go buy that extra juice and rebottle it.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Yeah.
And
people are
and then
it.
You can afford Napa, because yep. I think Napa's outpricing itself.
Without a doubt.
It is getting, which is another reason why I'm all about Italy.
So yeah, we talk about all about Italy, and you hear
spoiling me.
You hear Andrew say all the time
is
you know, like California, there's no middle.
There is
Italy
no middle.
Is all about the middle.
Yes.
From the $30 to $65 price point, that's what it's all about.
So I said that Andrew's spoiling me because he's about to Corvin the Ornellaia, which is like, this is what you should have for breakfast every day of the week, by the way. But to your point,
it's the standard
with Ornellaia, what I love about Ornellaia is they are so ahead of the curve with what everyone calls these second labels.
Mm-hmm.
La Serenova is an amazing wine, which
yep.
I guess they call their second label, not made entirely the same as the Ornellaia.
Correct.
And then, of course, the La Volte,
yep.
which, I mean, I go through bottles of that at a time. Because
at $25 a bottle, why wouldn't you?
Not?
And both of the two big boys in Bulgari do the same thing. So Sassicaia has Sassicaia, same thing. They don't want to call it the second label. The other wine is Guidoalberto,
right.
which is that you drink Guidoalberto while you're waiting for your Sassicaia to age, and at $40 a bottle, it's a dynamite buy. And then you have Le Defesse, which is same thing, $25 a bottle.
I think it's
mostly Sangiovese and a little bit of Cabernet. It's like we sell a ridiculous amount of those wines, like ridiculous, because it's like it's all wine
but,
for the money.
They don't want to call it second label because it's not really. It's literally the Italians because, again, they are that smart.
Right.
They needed something to drink while they waited.
Yep, for sure. And
So it was just practicality for them.
And we talked a little bit about, you know, Bordeaux or other regions of the world and kind of pricing themselves, you know, in or out of the market. Ornellaia and Sassicaia are classic examples of being smart in pricing. The price of Sassicaia and the price of Ornellaia has not changed in the last decade. It's not an inexpensive bottle of wine, but every year when it comes out, it's the same price.
It's cool.
Doesn't matter if it was a vintage that got, you know, amazing reviews or a vintage that, you know, was, you know, that they had more challenges. It's the same price. And same thing, the second wine is the same price.
But what is amazing about it, though, is it has appreciated.
Yes,
As a dork with a business background, you can't help but track it every now and then.
Yes.
And it has appreciated probably more than the market at this point, especially more than the market this year,
for sure. Yep. So the 2012, which we're trying, is it's classic Bordeaux blend. So you got, you know, Cab Merlot, Cab Franc, and Petit Verdot. 2012 was a little bit more for Bulgari, a little bit more of a kind of a seductive, elegant vintage. Mm-hmm. And so they come out, they have a special bottling that comes out. So this is like the Willy Wonka golden ticket thing.
Yes, there's a gold label.
So that was last year. And this year's design in 12, it looks like a big ink splot on the label.
Yeah.
And, you know, they call that Incanto, which stands for enchanted in Italian. And so they feel that it's 2012 is an enchanted vintage because it's like sweet and seductive and elegant. And yeah, that's why they went with the golden ticket bottle in every six pack.
Every six pack should have one.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Oh, so this is so wonderful. And again.
And so I save that for last. I mean, that's certainly more substantial than the Sofrania.
Way more tannins going on there.
But see the sweetness of fruit in the palate? That's like, if you went to a tasting and that was poured in the glass, it's like high impression, high impact. Like,
and I could drink that all night right now.
Yep, me too.
Again, this is what I love about all these wines is that they are drinkable.
Right.
I guess everyone needs somebody around them to tell you to hold on occasion and force the bottle down, but I'll drink it all right now.
Yep. And so, you know, I'm so happy that we're here talking about the event because this is the perfect way to get the message across to people. Like, any small collection of these wines, like if you came and bought a ticket and came to an event and just tasted these four wines, you'd be like, wow.
Blown away.
And then to be able to have 275 plus of them. And then James is also throwing in because he's got a partnership with Lalique Glassware. So we're going to be tasting out of Lalique Glassware that night.
So fun.
And you get included in the price of the ticket is you get your Lalique glass to bring home with you.
Really cool.
Yeah. because
which
he feels strong.
Which is half the price of the ticket, quite frankly.
Yeah, he wants to promote the glassware, that he believes it, you know, drinking on a glassware makes a big difference.
I think it
and,
does.
Yeah, so.
I mean, this would taste different in a red Solo cup. Yeah. Let's be clear.
But it would still be good. That's, you got to know, that's what Zachy's is all about. We're not about.
It would still be good.
We're not about pretension at all
no,
here. It's
me
about
neither,
like
but.
Opening bottles, drinking them, tasting them, enjoying them, pairing them with good food, hanging out with people that you love to be with, and you know.
That's the beauty of the wine world in general, though. I think that's why I fell in love with it. Okay, so just to reiterate, the event is on
Tuesday, February 23rd. It's going to be from 4 o'clock to 8:30. It's only $125 a ticket.
Which is nothing. The glass is really, that's half the ticket, quite frankly.
Yep. And he's got a super cool DJ because he believes in the musical element at an
awesome.
Event. And so he was the lead guitarist and lead singer for big Australian band Empire of the Sun. And
oh,
so now
cool.
he's doing like DJ and stuff. So they've got a whole stage built for him in the back of the space.
Awesome.
And he's going to be spinning great music. And the IAC building has the largest video wall in the world.
Yep.
So the length of the entire space is one massive TV screen. And so he's going to have streaming along the length of the space, vineyard shots and interviews with the producers.
Oh, how nice.
To have that backdrop, you know, on a Tuesday night in the city with the lights. And it's going to be like, awesome.
It's awesome. So if you're in town, get a ticket, come join us. If you're not in town, I think you should at least open a bottle of one of these wines on that Tuesday night and channel your energy towards us. If you have any questions for Andrew, he is at Andrew Zachy's. I am, of course, at Tracy Burns. You can follow them at Zachy's. And go to the website. It's Zachy's.com. If you have any other information, Andrew, thank you for doing this.
My pleasure.
Tim
Cheers.
Tony.
Here's Italy.